Release the bottom line.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The government watchdog for the Troubled Asset Relief Program is testifying before a Senate committee later this morning. As Marketplace's Tamara Keith tells us, he's expected to say there's some money taxpayers will never see again.
Neil Barofsky is the special inspector general for the $700 billion bailout program. In prepared testimony, Barofsky says the Treasury Department has spent about $445 billion of the money on everything from shoring up banks to rescuing GM and Chrysler. He says it is extremely unlikely taxpayers will see a full return on the investment. For instance, he doesn't expect a direct return on the $50 billion Treasury plans to spend to get banks to modify troubled mortgages. Barofsky also complains in his testimony that the Treasury is still not being transparent enough about how the firms receiving bailout funds are spending the money. Treasury could extend the program another year if it can convince Congress it's needed. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
There's research out today, new research, that's giving scientists and health officials some hope in the fight against AIDS. For the first time, an experimental vaccine has been shown to help prevent HIV infection. In the world's largest trial of more than 16,000 volunteers in Thailand, it lowered risk by a third. The vaccine is a combination of Sanofi Pasteur's Alvac Canary Pox and the failed HIV vaccine AIDSvax, made by a San Francisco company called VaxGen and now owned by the nonprofit Global Solutions for Infectious Diseases. Global markets not feeling much success today. European shares are lower right now, an average of about a half a percent. Shares in Asia closed mixed today. The Hang Seng lost 2.5%, but the Nikkei reopened after a few days off, up more than a percent and a half. Wall Street yesterday, markets tumbled. The S&P was down a full percent, the NASDAQ lower by 7/10, and the Dow closed down about 81 points at 97.48. The world's economic leaders are in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this morning as the G20 summit gets underway. It's the third meeting of the world's top economies in the aftermath of the financial crisis. And the White House will use the two-day summit to push for new banking and financial regulations and ending fossil fuel subsidies. Reporter Joel Rose has more.
The Obama administration may find the appetite for tougher financial regulations starting to wane as world economies begin to recover.
And the sign of green shoots seem to be weakening the will of many countries to confront this aggressively.
Stephen Schrage is an economist at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He thinks there is some consensus around the idea of requiring banks to have more capital on hand.
I think that's where we're going to see the most progress. In other areas, there are still kind of huge underlying rifts between the United States and the Europeans and others.
The White House will also push to end subsidies for fossil fuels. Steve Kretzmann at the nonprofit Oil Change International says that would encourage a shift toward cleaner energy.
Definitely removing subsidies is a great idea. The question is, what subsidies do you remove first and how do you do it?
So far, Kretzmann says the White House is focused on eliminating subsidies for consumption, which mainly benefit poor countries. Kretzmann says that could make the plan a tough sell to some G20 members. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Times are tough in these days of foreclosures and repossessions, and one police department is no exception. In Illinois, the Alexander County Sheriff's Department is turning over five of its patrol cars to a bank for non-payment. The department is in the southern part of the state, an area hard hit by the recession. No word on how many cars the department has left.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
It's an age group of tweets and status updates, PlayStation and fashion consciousness. Generation Y is the oddly configured age group of 10 to 30. And a new book says the group, that group has a lot of buying power. Kit Yarrow is author of Generation Buy, How Tweens, Teens, and 20-somethings Are Revolutionizing Retail. She joins us this morning to talk about how they spend. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
I know you're the one that usually asks all the questions, but can I give it a go today?
Yes, absolutely.
Good, because this is a good one. How many text messages do you think the average teen sends and receives every month?
Oh, I'd say maybe 150.
You would be so wrong, Steve. Ugh. It's actually 2,272.
More than 2,000 text messages a month.
Yeah, over 80 a day. So the point I'm making here is how integrated technology is in Gen Y's life. And that's actually the way to reach them. That's the way that marketers are more effectively reaching them, is going into the land where they live, which is online and through technology.
All right, Kate Yarrow, you said you were throwing questions at me. I like this game now. What else you got?
All right. Who do you think spends more money on a daily basis? This is excluding mortgages and so on. Adult Gen Yers or baby boomers?
Well, I'd have to say baby boomers.
I would have too. And guess what? The average working teen actually have more discretionary spending power than their parents do.
Why should I care about how and where these Gen Yers spend their money?
Well, Gen Y is the future. I mean, right now, they're the largest generation. By 2015, they'll have more discretionary spending power, more spending power overall than any other generation. They also, as I said, have, you know, remained higher spenders than other generations. They'd reduced their spending less than other generations during the recession. And they're moving into those years of their life where they're buying their houses, getting their mortgages, buying cars. You know, half of them are over 20 now. They're 20 to 30, and half are between 10 and 20. So they're really the future. You have to care. There's no way a marketer cannot care about this generation.
Well, Dr. Kit Yarrow, the author of Gen Buy, How Tweens, Teens, and 20-somethings Are Revolutionizing Retail, we do appreciate you speaking with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Stephen. Thanks for letting me quiz you. It was fun.
You bet. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.